Welcome to Let's Talk About Test Baby, a fortnightly show where I say software testing, whoa, I think we should just be friends. Hello listeners and welcome to episode 55. I am your host Jem Hill. And before we start, some brief news. Firstly, a reminder, I am at the Liverpool Tester Summer Gathering Meetup thing next Thursday, 30 the 4th. So come say hi if you'll be there too. Next week, I am interviewing Rosie Hamilton, and we'll be talking about things like the massive software tester survey she did this year, so that'll be fun, and that's the first of a series of interviews I'm doing with various people. And finally, my Origin Stories Google form will be closed on Monday the 1st of August, and after that I'm going to be collating all the submissions and putting them into a post for Ministry of Testing. Rosie Sherry is going to help me out with that. So that's very exciting, but it means you do have literally days to get your origin stories in if you haven't already. And that's all the news this week. It is exciting / busy times at Let's Talk About Test Towers. I'll be announcing stuff as it happens on the show and on Twitter, which is at Let's Talk Tests. If you want to follow me if you don't already, you'll hear stuff as it happens pretty much. And now I want to go on with the show. This isn't the episode I was going to broadcast this week. I couldn't get this week's episode to work. I need to work on it some more. So this is a last minute change to the scheduled episode. And it was inspired a little bit by some discussions I was having earlier in the week. So on Tuesday night, there was the first Tuesday night testing, which was organised by Simon Tomes, which was basically like a lean coffee, but remote. There was five of us. We all got on a hangout style thing, and we just sat there. We put a load of topics, we voted on the topics, we talked about them, and we got through about three or four different topics during the evening. And one of them was helping testers who are in a slump get back into the community, get back into testing, or just get into the community in the first place, as the case may be. And I guess that's about a couple of different thoughts, coupled with some stuff that I've been doing myself recently around community and the testing community and, you know, work-life balance and things like that. And I guess I kind of wanted to put out a sort of episode on how to get involved in the community and how to balance getting involved with the community with other things that you want or need to do. Because that's something that I've had to learn the hard way with pretty much every community I've ever jumped into. I never learn. But I know what to do, I just don't do it. So this episode kind of assumes you want to be involved in the testing community and that you have the time and ability to be involved on top of everything else that you need to do. That's not always possible, and that's fine. I don't want to be all like, do this and this and this, and you can't do that, because not everyone can, and that's fine. It's not a prerequisite. It's just something that I enjoy doing, and if I can help other people do it, I'd like to. And there are lower key ways of contributing, even just sitting on the Slack. There's a testers.io one, there's a Ministry of Testing one. I'm sure there's a couple of other more specific ones. Even that is part of a community. People come and chat every day, and it's a really supportive space. And you'll talk to people there that you might run into at something at one point. But yes, so this episode is going to be about contributing to the testing community in a more substantial way, but that's not a prerequisite at all to anything, ever. It's just for people who may want to or are currently doing it. And also it applies to basically any community. The testing community isn't necessarily special when it comes to the level of stuff that you can do in it. It's just that's the one that I'm in currently and the one that I'm most active in. So that is what I'm going to be talking about. There are all my disclaimers. Right, okay. Moving on. So I'm guessing the majority of people listening to me know how to get involved with the community. There's the testers.io Slack. Ministry of Testing's always doing something. Twitter. There's blogs everywhere. There's events and meetups everywhere. There probably is one somewhere near to you. I think getting involved in the testing community is one of the easiest things in the world to do, because you could do anything. I also think it can be quite hard because you could do anything and everything. And much like the problem I have with being a magpie when it comes to testing skills, I'm a magpie when it comes to volunteering for things and wanting to try things out. Everything sounds so awesome, so let's do everything is not a good strategy, as much as I would like it to be. So, a list. A listicle in podcast form, if you will. Firstly, have a to-do list. or something. Bullet journal, something that means you keep on top of everything you need to do. Because you need to keep on top of everything you need to do before you can start adding more stuff to it. And just knowing what you've got to do, even if you know it in your head, just seeing it written out means you get a much rounder idea of actually you've got quite a bit on your plate, or actually you've got plenty of time, you can add more stuff. There is a wealth of difference between having something in your head and seeing it in front of you. And that can be a good or a bad thing. When I'm panicking a lot because I think I've got so much on my plate and I write out a to-do list, sometimes I'm like, oh, actually, I can clear off three of those things in the next 10 minutes. That's fine. Or I can write stuff down and go, actually, yeah, I've got way more than I thought I needed to do, which is a bad thing temporarily, but then at least I can start coming up with a plan on moving stuff off my plate or tackling them as efficiently as I can, stuff like that. So for me, I think a written to-do list or a typed to-do list is essential. I particularly like bullet journaling. I'll put a link to it in the show notes, which is a method of it's just a to-do list method. It's quite simple. It's one of the things where you've got a framework, so you don't have to think about annotations and symbols and stuff. You've got those all written out, but it's flexible enough that you can do what you need to do with it. I'm also really inconsistent with my to-do lists. I only write to-do lists when I really need them, and then I'll just forget about it as I don't need it, and then I'll bring it back in as soon as I need it. So you don't have to write a to-do list every single day. You can pick it up and drop it as and when you need to, but I really recommend having a written to-do list somewhere. Find your niche, find your market, find your section. Just like you do with specialisms, do it with contributing. I'm absolutely not practicing this at all at the moment because I'm going to meetups and I'm doing a podcast and I'm doing interviews for the podcast. I'm volunteering at Test Bash and I'm doing an open space session at Test Bash. I am not practicing this at all, but I also know that the podcast comes first. This is my first priority over everything else. Like, obviously I've made a commitment to Test Bash, but I made that commitment back in May and I knew I had time to do it. But I've missed meetups and things to do the podcast because it's my top priority. And I think you need that. I think you need a priority first. And if you can fit more on your plate, that's excellent. But pick one thing that you want to focus on and then do that one thing. And I think it's a lot easier with this kind of stuff than it is for with skills for me, because there are tutorials for pretty much any skill that you want to learn, and there's support and all that kind of stuff for the hard skills of testing. And for some of the soft skills as well. Whereas for stuff like this, it is much more about what brings you joy and what you feel good doing. And like, this podcast is hard work. I'm spending a lot of time organising interviews at the moment, but every time someone says yes when I ask them to interview, or if one approaches me and asks to be on the show, I just absolutely adore it. Every time I do an episode, I sit here recording, I adore it. Even after all the hard work, even if the episode's been a real pain to write because I've had to research those stuff, or I just couldn't get it to flow properly or whatever, I really enjoy it. And I think that's the important thing. You might not even want to have a blog or a Twitter or whatever, but just being, and I think that's the crux of this entire podcast really, this episode, is do what you enjoy. And when you don't enjoy it anymore, just stop. Don't feel obliged at all to do stuff that you're doing for free in your own time for any longer than you want to. Have a plan. That's number three, have a plan. Even if it's a vague plan of one day I would like to do this, I think a plan is useful. This especially has come to me because I've been thinking about this about the podcast, and I was asked by Matthew Breton, who's going to be on the podcast interview soon, when we were hashing out what he wanted to talk about on the podcast. He said, what's the future of the podcast? What do you like about the podcast? What do you want to keep on doing? And it was something that I've been thinking about a lot, and it hit me that I didn't have a plan. I still don't have a fully formed plan. It's something I'm working on for the podcast. I've just spent the first year just getting it out there, getting people listening, getting a vague process down, that I don't actually have a proper plan for it. And that's when I sat down and realised that if I'm serious about it, I need one. And I think that's the case for a lot of things. People just tend to fall into things and just start something and then realise they've got nowhere to go with it. And if you are serious about contributing, write out a plan, just like you would for a career, if you have a career plan, something like that. Even if it's just a list of ideas of something you want to do at some point, or just a list of bullet points, I'm going to write a list of things that I want, almost like the Let's Talk About Tess Baby manifesto, if you like, of what the podcast is and what it will continue to be. Take breaks. I think that's the most important thing. As much as you could love your job, and the majority of testers do, it can't be all about the job. It just can't. I know plenty of people who enjoy their job enough, but do not at any point want to do it outside of work for free, or talk about it outside of work for free. Do you know what I mean? And there's nothing, they're not bad workers, there's some great workers, some people who are good at their jobs, and they just don't want to do outside work, and they find that not talking about outside work is beneficial for them. And if that's you, then that's fine. You can be connected and on it at work, and then just have some time when you're not and you're completely switched off. Or you can limit yourself to a certain amount of time per week or whatever, but do what you need to do to make sure you have breaks in there and that you look after yourself. FOMO. The fear of missing out will kill you if you let it. You have to accept that even if you are the most passionate person who gets involved in everything, you can't actually go and see and do everything. Much like I said, you need to pick a niche, you need to pick a niche and be okay with that. It's okay to go, oh, that looks really great, I wish I could have been there. But if not being there is going to stress you out, if seeing people tweeting about it and writing about it is going to affect you, then you need to take a step back. That can be hard to do when people are talking about it and people had a great time and they've met people and they've connected and there's new exciting things coming out of those connections. It can be hard, but you will have those yourself if you go to events or are on Slack or on Twitter or whatever. You will see those things and do those things, and other people will be missing out on those because that's just the way it works. And the way I defeat FOMO, if you will, is when I see someone doing something, or when I'm asked to do something, or when I see something's happening that I could go to, instead of instantly saying yes, I just go, I'll check my calendar first. Now, chances are I'm going to know what's in my calendar, but again, it gives me a chance to step back and go, right, what's happening around that? What's happening before? What's happening after? Given what I know, will I actually have time and space and energy to do it and do it properly and enjoy it? And just having that bit of space is enough to be able to say, yeah, actually I can do it, or no, I can't do it. And don't be afraid to say no, because it's not a big deal. And there will be other opportunities and other places and other times to do this stuff. It's never too early or too late to start doing this stuff. Basically, what I want this episode to be is some tips on how to contribute in a way that's healthy and that doesn't end up in burnout, if you want to contribute at all. And I apologise if it's been a bit rambly, a lot of it has been done on the fly. And being part of communities and stepping back and saying no and self-care whilst being a contributor is something that I'm learning and I'm passionate about. And it does link into something else that I'm doing this year. Listeners who were around last year might remember I mentioned Geek Mental Health Week then. For those who don't know or don't remember, Geek Mental Health Week happens every October, and it is a week dedicated to mental health in geek spaces and techie spaces and in tech industry, and it's a series of events, blogs, podcasts, whatever, dedicated to that. The site hasn't been launched this year, but it will be doing soon. There's a couple of events happening in Manchester. I'll be doing an episode about it as well, and this interests me obviously because, as I've said, I'm not very good at stepping back all the time. I'm getting better at it, but it's something I've had to learn, and so if there's anything in this episode that helps other people, that's great, because it can be quite hard to step back and go, right, I'm doing enough now, I'm not going to do this. So I hope this has helped, and if you've got any tips that I've missed, feel free to give me a shout. I am always after more tips. You can contact the show in myriad ways. You can email letstalkabouttests@gmail.com. As I said earlier, I'm on Twitter @letstalktests. I'm on Skype, Let's Talk About Tests. The website is letstalkabouttests.xyz. I mean, the list is endless, frankly. And finally, if you want to give the show a hand, reviews on iTunes and ratings on iTunes are always amazingly helpful for podcasts to get, you know, noticed and out there. And finally, I am going to wrap this up. I will see you in 2 weeks' time. Have a fantastic 2 weeks, and maybe I'll see you next week in Liverpool. Bye. Our planet would be just a...